Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, the 9th Psalm, please. Psalms 9. Please stand with us. Reverence to the reading of God's word. Starting at verse number 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Let us pray. Father, once again today, I thank you so much for the book, the precious Bible, your word. Thank you again today. We had the privilege, Lord, of reading it here and preaching from it. Thank you for the Sunday school class this morning and all the classes that the young people had. Thank you for the children's churches that's going on at this time as the Word of God goes forward. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do today. You're the good, you're the great, you're the wonderful God. You're the only God. And we thank you so much that you've allowed us to gather in this place today. This preacher needs your power. I need your wisdom. I need everything from you, Father. And we'll always, when all is said and done, to remember to praise you for what you've done. We'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. This week being Thanksgiving is always, to me, a very special, special time of year. I imagine it is to you too. It's a time where families, if at all possible, can gather together and enjoy each other's company. It's also a great time to just remember the goodness of God, how good he is, how wonderful he is to us. And the future that we have looking forward, one of these days to be in heaven forever and ever because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, I heard a man say the other day, and I thought it was a pretty good statement. He said one of the most silly statements that you could ever say in heaven would be, have a nice day. I got to think about that. It's just all going to be nice. Amen. You won't have to worry about having a nice day in heaven because you will have every day. Maybe put it all eternity would be good. And we'll get to see the face of our lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again, now sitting at the right hand of the Father, we believe soon coming again. So today I just kind of want to bring a message. We just entitled it, I Will Praise the Lord. I believe it's a time just to look forward and thank God for his goodness, for all he is. Take a little time aside to just praise him and thank the Lord for all he's given us and what he's done for us. So this morning, we're going to go to a couple portions of scripture, and then we'll come back to Psalm number 9. We'll preach from that because that psalm basically is dealing with praising God. But I want you to go with me, if you will, over to 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter. 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter. I'm going to start at verse 7. I just want you to listen to the preacher for a little while. I want to just talk to you about the goodness of God. And maybe what it means to praise him and to thank him. Fifth chapter of 2 Chronicles, 7th verse, says, "And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place." Now, I think you're probably familiar with this, even by that portion of scripture. It's telling about the priest bringing in the ark of God into the tabernacle, and or into the temple, and setting it in its place. They're going to place it in the Holy of Holiest. And we find the priest brought the ark into the, of the covenant of the Lord into its place, to the oracle of the house and to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and staves thereon above. And they drew out the staves of the ark, and the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle. But there were not seen without, and there it is unto this day. And there was nothing to the there was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein in Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait for by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman and Jeduthun, which were sons and with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests standing, sounding with trumpets." I'm going to stop just for a moment and trying to get a little bit of a picture of all of these singers. It doesn't really tell us basically how many, but it says there's 120 trumpeters, priest trumpeters, that is playing the trumpets, blowing the trumpets, singers singing. I want you to then go into verse number 13, and it gives us some wonderful thoughts. It says, "It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpeters and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord," I'm going to stop there for a moment. If you notice here, we have them all singing, the trumpeters playing, blowing the trumpets, and the sound is as one. I said to you this morning, you know, as we was singing, and sometimes it's hard maybe to get all of us to have the heart that really wants to put forth with voice and sing unto our great God. But that was a wonderful song this morning. It was a beautiful song, and we ought to maybe take note that even though you don't have the most beautiful voice, which I do not, I know that, but I believe that God wants me to sing, and I believe he wants me to lift up my voice unto him. And one of the reasons why is because it's found in the remainder of this, in this verse of scripture. Here they are singing, blowing the trumpets, and then it says, and he says, saying, "For he is good." What did they say? They said, "God is good." And if you notice, it says, "For his mercy endureth forever." God is good. I guess we could say for a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons here is because his mercy endureth forever. He's a merciful God. And if you notice, he says, "In mercy forever, and that the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." You notice where there's praising and there's thanksgiving for God, to God, you notice that God's presence is there. God wants to be praised. We have every reason under the sun to praise God and to thank him for his goodness. So his presence is evident wherever that takes place. Now, I'm not talking about, as we'll get into, I'm not talking about we just have to stand around and say praise the Lord all the time, but our hearts, as we will find out, should be unto the Lord and be very thankful and grateful for who God is. I want to take you now to another portion of scripture. I want to take you over to the book of Revelation, the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, and then we'll go back to Psalm number 9. But in this portion of scripture, you'll notice in chapter 4, the very first part of chapter 4 We're not going to be reading much there, but chapter 4 talks about, of course, how there was a door open to heaven and John was called up. I think it's a picture of the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the picture after that is a picture of things in heaven. And if you will notice in verse number 6 of chapter 4, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I want you to notice as I stop there for a moment what they were doing day and night. They were crying out about the holiness of God. He is holy. And I want you to notice in heaven, the honor and the glory is going to be to God. It's going to be to him. Now, I have some more to say about that in a few minutes, but I'm trying to get us some background here. I want you to notice in verse number 9, he says, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Did you notice who's receiving the honor and the thanks? Who to him who sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The fruit of the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and casteth their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. If you will notice there, it is God who is worthy. It is he who is worthy. It's not speaking about men here today that is worthy to be honored and gloried in this respect. It is God that deserves the glory and the honor. And if you'll notice again, he said all things were created for his pleasure. In verse number 11, they were created for God's pleasure. God created everything. That includes you and I. God created us for his pleasure. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to be what he wants us to be. Why? Because for his pleasure. We were created not for ourselves today, but for him. He wants us to be his children and to serve him on a day by day, hour by hour basis. Why? So we'll please him. To him, notice, these are pictures of heaven. There you find God receiving all of the glory. Now let's continue. I'm not going to read the first of this, but in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, there was a book. And it was a book there, and I believe it was a title Deed to the Earth is what I believe it is. But there was a book there, you see, and it was in his hand, and they were searching for someone to be able to open that book. No one was found. It was looked through the whole earth, the whole under the earth, everywhere. No one could open that book. No one was worthy to open it. But we find in verse number 5, and one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Here we see the one who is likened unto a lamb, and certainly it is the Lamb of God. It's Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who steps forward and takes that book. He can open it. Okay? And then he says, and when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. I want you to notice again what everybody is doing. The four beasts, the 24 elders, are falling down before the Lamb, giving honor and praise and worship to him. Okay? I want you to notice, in heaven, this is signs of what's going on, or scenes of what we see in heaven. What's happening? God is receiving all of the glory and all of the honor. Now, I want you to notice, as he says, they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." We'll stop there for a moment. They began to sing a new song. I don't know whether you realize it or not, in the Bible, if you go for 2,500 years into the Bible, you will not find recorded in the Bible a song being sung. For 2,500 years, only after the crossing of the Red Sea, when they came out of Egypt, the blood was shed, remember? And then came across the Red Sea, which is a picture of salvation. When they got on the other side of the Red Sea, there was began to sing the song of redemption. Let me say to you, we as Christians, we ought to be singers. We ought to sing. We ought to be thank God for the fact that he redeemed us. How did he redeem us? By his blood. It was the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way any person can ever be born again is have their sins washed away by the blood of Christ. There is no other way. I want to say to you, I really believe this with all of my heart. If a person would take this portion of scripture and read it over and over and over and over again, let it sink in. I'm not talking about just reading it and let it go out of your head. But these portions of scripture, which I'm reading to you today, if you would read that, you would understand there's not one work that you can do for salvation. It's all done by him. It's done by Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, who shed his blood for our sins and washed away our sin. It's only by him. It cannot be anything else. If you'll read this verse, these verses of scripture, a person could get saved there. I'm telling you, because you would realize, you would understand, in heaven it's all about Jesus. It's all about what he done. There's no proclaiming man's goodness and greatness in heaven. You'll go on throughout the eternity. We'll hear about the greatness and the goodness of God. We won't be hearing about the greatness and goodness of man as we do down here a lot. It'll be because of him. These are wonderful verses. If you would read them, you would understand. There's not one thing that you or I can do to gain our salvation. It's all through Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross and shed his blood. And all the praise goes to him, as you see here. You find in verse 8 there, you see the elders and the beast kneeling down, falling on their face before God, praising God. Notice, and I didn't read verse 10, he says, "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." That's enough to be happy about. One of these days, Jesus is going to come again. He's going to bring us back with him. We preached on that, I think it was on Wednesday night. We'll come back with him. And he said, we're going to reign with him here on earth. But it's not about us. It's about him. It's always about him. I was speaking to a person the other day, I think it was Saturday maybe, we was talking to this individual, and he's saying about this, just talking about this certain preacher, and they was talking about, he said, well, all we hear is funny stories. All we hear is about what he did in this. And I said, well, I don't know anything about that stuff. All I know is it's not about us. It's about him. I want to tell you, it's about this book. It's about the Word of God. It's about the Bible, the Word of God. It's about him, not about us. Amen. Now listen to what he says. What it says, because here comes the angels. They join in. They join in here on this praise. In verse number 11, and behold, I heard the voices of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You find the angels joining in. Everybody is joining in with praise to God. Are you hearing me? And he said, only God, he says, can receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen. Only he. Only he is worthy. Well, if you go out of here this morning, one thing, I want you to know, God is worthy to receive praise and honor. It's him that is worthy. Amen. Now, you notice here, then, we also find here, even the creation, creatures joining in on this great praise of God. He says, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worship him that liveth forever and ever. I just want you to know that the whole creation everywhere joined in with this great praise of God. Where are we at? We're in heaven. I'm talking about here. It's a picture of heaven, what's going on in heaven. Now, I've made all that to do about everything so that you would know something. You would understand something. It's about him. It's about God. It's about the Son of God who died for our sins, who was slain, as the Bible said. His blood was shed. And it's not about man. We in this place, I say to you, why is it so important to me that we honor God? Because where God is lifted up and praised and honored and thanked, his presence will be there. And if he isn't, it won't be there. Wherever men are lifted up and honored and constantly praised, I want to tell you something, God's not in that mess. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to say to you, this is Thanksgiving week. Well, we ought to honor God. We ought to thank him and praise him for everything that he's done for us. And I say to you, I don't know your condition spiritually. I don't know what's in your heart. It's not for me to read hearts, but I want you to know something. Don't try to work your way to heaven. You won't get there. You can't get there through works. You must get there by the wonderful grace of God who sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, shed his blood for your salvation, and you must come to him knowing you're an old sinner. You're just a sinner lost, and you need saved, and Jesus is the one who can save you and give you eternal life. And he's the only one. I don't want your dependence to be on this church, on this preacher, or any priest, or any deacon, or any person on the face of this earth. I want your dependence to be on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the only way of heaven. Amen. Now, will you agree with that? Amen. I just kind of wanted to start my message that way. I just want you to understand. Now, the message, you say, boy, we got, no, it won't be long. But I just want you to know something. I want you to know God loves you, and God must be praised. He must be honored. We so many times at holiday seasons, we forget to honor him who deserves honor. Thanksgiving, folks, is unto him. I mean, I'm thankful a lot of things. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for a lot of things, but it's all because of him. Amen. I'm thankful for every person who made their way here this morning. I mean that bottom of my heart. You didn't have to come this morning, but you came. I'm thankful for you. I'm grateful that you come. But it's all because of him. You know what I believe? I believe he brought you. I believe he done it. I believe to him grows the honor and the glory. Amen. You agree with that? Amen. Let's go back now to the book of Psalms. You see, this psalm in Psalms 9, we're not going to cover a lot of the verses in it. We can't. But in Psalms 9, this psalm, the emphasis is on praise. And I want you to notice the four I wills that's found in the first two verses. He says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I'll talk about that in just a moment. He says, and I will show forth all thy marvelous works. And then he says also, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. This was the psalmist saying, I will do this. I will praise you. I will praise God. Why, that's what it's all about. That's what our hearts ought to be doing. Now, we're going to talk about the heart here in just a minute. And I want to show you a couple verses of scripture. You keep your place always here at Psalms 9, but I want to show you something, because true praise, true thanksgiving comes not from here and comes not from here. It comes from here. That's where true praise. You say, Brother Ross, you know, I just find it hard just to praise God for everything. Well, you need to get this thing down here corrected. You need to get it adjusted. Because I want to tell you something. He deserves it all. And with all he's done for us, my goodness sakes, how can we not praise him? How can we not thank him for all he's done, you see? I believe something. I believe, according to the scripture, all the works of God praise God. But let me say something to you. The leader of the choir, the lead singer in the choir, ought to be men. Ought to be the man I'm talking about, mankind. You understand what I mean? We ought to be praising God above all. He's given us a living soul to live forever. You know what? Yeah, the birds, I hear the birds. I told Donna the other day, I miss the songbirds. It's wintertime, and I guess they've gone south. But I used, you know, and I miss them singing. I love in the springtime to hear the songbirds singing. If there's some around, there's not too many because I don't hear them. I wake up very early of a morning, and I don't hear the birds. I went out this morning, though, it was interesting. Went out this morning, right there by the door, she's got one of these wreaths hung, and there was a little bird flew out of that wreath. I don't know what he's staying in there. What? He's just a little thing. He's just a little, I don't know what he was, a wren. I don't know what he was, but he's a pretty little thing. He just flew out, flew under my car. You know, I don't know where he come from or not, but he wasn't talking. He wasn't singing. I don't know. But I want to tell you something. I love to hear the birds sing. As soon as it comes, you know, springtime, you start hearing them just bellowing, just singing all over the place. They're praising God. I love to see the trees wave in the wind. You may not look at it that way, but I think they're praising God. All of his creation. I know they're not saying it with words. I know they don't have a human whole, but it's part of his creation. I'm just saying, you look around, folks, all around in God's creation. But folks, there's nobody ought to praise God more than mankind does. Goodness sakes, he's given us an eternal soul. We'll live forever. And if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you something, folks. You've got the promise of heaven. And if you haven't received Christ as your Savior, you can. You can be saved. You can be born again. Amen. So it's a marvelous, marvelous thing. So we see those four I wills here. And I believe, honestly, I believe we ought to be the ones leading in the praise unto our God. Now, once you turn over with me, keep your place there. But if you will, please turn over to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I want to just read. Well, let's just read two verses. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I want you to notice where praise and thanksgiving originates from. The heart. Folks, honestly, you look around this old world, you see a lot of gloomy faces. I mean it. They're just all downtrodden. I know this. There is times of sorrow because things come upon our life that causes sorrow in our life. I understand that. But we ought not to live there. And a heart that truly loves God is going to show forth the praises and thanksgiving to God Almighty. Look what he says in verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, we can give thanks unto God for all things. It may be that some things bring some sorrow, temporary sorrow to our life. But even that, all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Is that not correct? Sure. And God is saying that the true thanksgiving comes from the heart. That's where it originates from. Now, I'm not going to preach on this, but if you'd skip up to verse number 18, I want to show you, and I want to give you a tidbit that is there. Okay, tidbit. Okay? It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to tell you the secret. And it goes on and talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Right after that, it begins talking about the family life. Do you want to know? You want to know why most family life in families is torn up, ripped apart, troubles? They're not filled with the Spirit of God. It's a guarantee. You fill your, you allow God to fill you with the Holy Spirit of God. You allow him to fill you. He'll tell you then how to act. He'll tell you how to treat your husband, how to treat your wife, how to treat your children, how to treat your employer. He'll tell you all of those things. Boy, if I could offer anybody, if you're newly married or getting ready to get married, if I offer you anything, stay close to God, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, love God, walk with God, and do as God says in his words, stay close to him, stay in the church, stay in the word of God, just keep close to God. It'll be the success of the marriage. Yes, it will. Because it'll all go back to that. And I didn't intend to get off on this, but I'm just telling you, it's the secret. If you just do what God says, it's the whole secret here. Well, it's got to be not just outwardly. It has to be something conjured up. No, it's got to be something coming from here. Do you believe in praying, Brother Ross? I sure do believe in praying. I believe the Bible teaches that, don't you? But did you ever notice that praying most of the time is all about us? Did you ever notice that? Now, honestly, when you pray, now, I know you pray for other people, but most of the time it's about you, and even when you're praying with other people, you're praying about things that concern you. But when you take time to thank God, it's all about him. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking from God. God wants us to ask. It's what we ought to do. We ought to pray. We ought to ask. You know I believe that. But boy, there ought to be a time of thanksgiving unto God and what God has done for us. Amen. There ought to be a time, you see, when our hearts are so filled with thanksgiving to God for what he's done for us, that it just overcomes us. And it just fills our heart with what God has done for us. Amen. And I believe if we'll do that, we'll be different people. Look at verse number 11. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Did you know that that praise and thanksgiving that comes out of the heart will come out into a speaking testimony? Now, if you'll notice there, what he says there, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. Don't you think that we ought to let people know who it is that's blessed us? Amen. Don't you think that ought to be a normal part of our life? Don't you think that ought to be our testimony? Amen. That God has been so good to us, and we want to give him the praise. We want to sing praises unto him for what he's done for us. And listen to me, folks. I'm not just talking about walking around all the time saying, praise God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it comes out of a life of thanksgiving. It's just something that develops out of what you are in here. You know, people ought to be able to see what God has done for us. Do you agree with that? People ought to be able to see that and understand that by just seeing that we're giving God the thanks and the praise for all things. Amen? So we find also in verse number 1, you'll notice this, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. He says there he's going to show forth all his marvelous works. I believe something. I believe that a person whose heart is filled with thanksgiving will want to serve God. It just comes out in service. I love to hear our choir sing. Do you love to hear our choir sing? And we've got three good choirs. We've got our youth choir, and we've got our adult choir, and we've got our children's choir. And I love to hear them sing. But let me say something to you, folks. The reason they sound good and they're going to sound good is because it comes from here. If it's just here to hear this microphone, it ain't going to work. It won't show forth. It won't come forth as the praise unto God. It has to come from here. And so also in every other area. Your Sunday school teacher, folks, you're going to have to learn that that you're going to have to teach from the heart. That the Word of God means so much to you. You want to teach something from the heart because you love God. No matter what it is you do, it doesn't make any difference. It's got to come from the heart because you love God. It's not this just talking about it. You could sit there and say, praise God all day and not mean it in your heart. And won't show forth in your life. Okay? I'm just simply saying to you, folks, we got to live a life of praising unto the Lord and thanksgiving unto the Lord. I believe something. I believe the church today, I believe it needs some happy, excited members that just love God. Now again, listen to me. Don't you think this preacher understands? I deal with this stuff all the time. I live a life too. Don't you think I understand there's times when you have difficulties and hard times? You're going through difficult times. Don't you think I know that? Don't you think I know it's tough and it's difficult sometimes? Oh, Satan makes it hard and difficult. Don't you think I know that? But even in the midst of all of those difficulties, we need to show forth to this old world out here that we have a God that's worth serving. And we put a smile on our face and we come into a church service and look around to see who we can serve and rather who's going to serve us. Amen. You know, we had some visitors here this morning. I hope you shook their hand. Now, that's so important. You say, well, that's for other folk. No, that's for you. You member here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? It's for you to get around and shake hands. It's you to greet them. I hope I did. I tried to greet them. If I don't, I'll greet them on the way out. But I want to tell you something. We need to greet them. We need to be excited about what God's doing here. We need to be excited what God has done for us. We need to be excited what God's going to do for us in the future. Amen. We ought to thank God and praise God for everything He's done for us and will do in the future for us. I'm just simply saying to you folks, we need some excitement in God's people today. We as a people ought to get excited here, go out into the world and let people know the reason we're excited because we have a great God. We have a great, wonderful God. Don't you believe we do? Don't he deserve to be praised? Don't he deserve to be thanked? We need to be thanking Him. Thanking God for who He is. Amen. Verse number 14, let's look at that. And he says, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Folks, listen to me. I'm just going to ask a question. You don't have to raise your hand. Are you saved this morning? Are you born again? Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about are you a church member. That's good to be a church member. Have you been baptized? That's not what I'm asking. I know it's good to be baptized. Once you get saved, you ought to get baptized. Amen. I'm for all those things. Do you treat your neighbor good? Well, I hope so. That won't get you to heaven. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about, are you saved? Have you seen yourself as an old rotten sinner, lost, hopelessly lost, according to the word of God? All of sin and come short of the glory of God. Amen. You believe that? Everybody, that means you. That means me. Amen. And you saw yourself as an old sinner that need to be saved. And you've called upon Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, the only Savior. There is none other. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to the cross, died, shed His blood for your sin and my sin. And only through His blood can we be washed from our sin. You agree with that? That's Bible. That's the Word of God. And He was redeemed. Remember the Bible said, through His shedding of His blood. Amen. Now, because of that, you called upon Jesus Christ. You put your faith and trust in Him. You know you're born again. You know you're ready for heaven. You know your trust is in Him. It's not in anything else. And you've admitted that you're an old sinner that needs to be saved. Are you saved this morning? Have you been there? Have you been to Calvary? Amen. See, you won't get saved any other way. It's only through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I'm saying that to you because if you have, you can rejoice in your salvation. And we ought to. I really do find a little bit of a problem when people are saved and don't want anybody to know it. I got saved in 1966. I was working at Anaconda Aluminum Company in Terre Haute, Indiana. When I went back to Anaconda Aluminum Company, I was a changed man. The man that they used to know was not there anymore. There was a fellow coming. I don't mean I tried to act foolishly or anything else, but all I do know is this. When I got saved and I went back to work, I began to tell people that I was saved. I began to tell people that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I did not want to hide it. I did not want to keep it a secret. I did not want to cover it up. I wanted people to know. As I said, I didn't act foolishly. I just, when I had an opportunity, a chance, I told people what happened to me. And let me tell you something. They started coming out of the woodwork. The old religionists started coming out of the woodwork. I've had them stick their finger right under my nose and say, "You're going to hell." I've had them do it. These are people who never, ever told me they was a Christian before I got saved. I want to tell you something. When you get saved, you rejoice in it. Amen. You just rejoice in it. You're just glad. You're thankful. And that's what he's saying. Praise God for your salvation. Praise God that you're saved. If you're not saved this morning, you can't say to me, "Brother Ross, I know for sure, 100% sure, if I died today that I'd go to heaven." If you cannot say that, why don't, at the end of this service, which is soon to come, why don't you walk down this aisle? There'll be people standing, men standing here. If you're a lady, we'll get a lady to deal with you. If you're a man, we'll get a man to deal with you and just simply show you how you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, be born again, walk out of this place ready for heaven. That's what this preacher done back in 1966. That's what every person who's saved in this place today at some time, some place, put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they're saved, ready for heaven because of him. And they're praising God for it. Amen. So what I say to you is, you're going to have to search your heart. Are you saved? Are you 100% sure that you're saved? You don't have to raise your hand. I got my hand up, but you don't have to raise your hand. Are you saved? Do you know for sure you're saved? If not, why don't you take the opportunity today to put your faith and trust in Christ? I just want you to know something. It's different being saved than it is just being religious. I was religious for many years, lost as I could be. When I got saved, put my faith in Christ alone, I was a new person. God came in to live, made me different. I'm just saying to you, are you saved? If not, why don't you take the opportunity we're going to give during this invitation and come give your heart and life to Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your goodness to us. Father, should there be any here today that's not sure of their salvation, Lord, give them the courage to just step forward, come and receive Christ as their personal Savior. We understand that old Satan is working very hard and trying to do his best to stop them. He'll do anything he can to keep them from going. I just ask you, Father, to override that and give them the courage to step forward and put their faith and trust in Christ, that they might be a child of God. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.